Good morning, I'm Anthony Morno with KRWJ News. The New Mexico Department of Health reports that there has been over 5,900 positive cases of COVID-19 in the state out of over 133,000 total tests. Health officials reported that there has been 294 positive cases of COVID-19 in Doña County, 16 positive cases in Grant County, 8 positive cases in Luna County, 1 positive case in Sierra County, and 8 positive cases in Otero County. Also, there has been 35 positive cases of COVID-19 at the Otero County Prison Facility and 43 positive cases of COVID-19 at the Otero County Immigration and Customs Enforcement Processing Center. Health officials report that there has been 265 reported deaths from the coronavirus in the state. The Veterans Health Administration is turning to virtual appointments to care for patients who would otherwise be at risk for coronavirus. But the agency's telehealth infrastructure has struggled to keep pace with the increasing traffic, causing providers and patients to get kicked off. Texas Public Radio's Carson Frame reports for the American Homefront Project.
As providers and patients started self-quarantining in early March, the number of virtual visits to the VA's telehealth app spiked from about 2,000 per day to nearly 20,000, straining the platform. Antonio, an Army veteran in his 30s, is one patient who's had trouble with the VideoConnect app. He asked us not to use his last name because he has ongoing disability claims with the department. Antonio says a video visit with his social worker devolved into sign language.
Immediately, we had video, but no audio. And I could see that she was sort of talking. And I looked at her and I kind of pointed to my ear and I nodded my head, no, like, I can't hear you.
The provider made some adjustments on her end, but the audio and video kept alternating. Entering and exiting the app didn't help.
All of a sudden, on both of our ends, we can, like, hear each other but not see each other. And it just wasn't working at all.
With minutes ticking by, the two opted to finish the appointment using Apple FaceTime instead. Antonio says he doesn't think the problem was on his end. He has high-speed internet and considers himself tech-savvy. Instead, he says he believes the issue was on the provider's side. Two subsequent telehealth visits were a mixed bag. One went flawlessly, but the other had audio issues.
That's the thing. It's, like, either really smooth or, like, really bad. There's, like, no in-between.
Providers have been struggling with the VA's telemedicine technology, too. Ira Kedson is president of the American Federation of Government Employees chapter in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and a VA psychologist who uses telehealth for many of his appointments.
Probably the most common difficulty is having a hard time understanding what the veterans are saying, which is usually a bandwidth or reception issue on their end, but who knows, because we're all sharing the same bandwidth.
Getting on and staying on can be a challenge, too.
There are times when providers can't get in to the sessions. We get an error message saying it's just that the resource is not available. There are times when people will get kicked off.
The VA has been building its telehealth reach for years, initially catering to veterans in rural areas. From there, it began to offer new services and expanded to include more veterans who wish to remain at home. Now, with the sheer number of virtual visits necessitated by the coronavirus, the VA has rushed to grow its infrastructure even further. Last month, the department got more than $2 billion from Congress to support its quick shift to telehealth. Internal medicine doctor Leonie Hayworth is the VA's telehealth lead. She says the agency built its own infrastructure in order to meet health privacy standards and allow for certain veteran-focused functions.
So the architecture by which we deliver the connections and the actual link to connect to the video visit is something that we have built for VA uniquely.
In response to the pandemic, Hayworth says the VA has tried to increase the amount of bandwidth available to providers who are working remotely. It's also beefing up its servers to allow more people to use video chat at once.
We had planned to increase the capacity gradually over time, but because of that time-sensitive need, a real pivot to the virtual care offering, we wanted to make sure that there were plenty of connections available for people to do sessions at the same time.
The VA doesn't track how many video visits fail or drop out, though it's working toward that. Hayworth admits the transition to telehealth has been a challenge on the VA side, but she points out that other factors play a role in how well virtual visits go.
Because of the variability in cellular signal, where some of our veterans live, variability in broadband access, it can be difficult to know connectivity-wise, without really doing an analysis.
While the ramp-up continues, the VA has made it possible for patients and practitioners to use other private video platforms like FaceTime or Cisco WebEx as alternatives. And if all else fails, appointments can take place on another very familiar conferencing tool, the telephone. This is Carson Frame reporting.
This story was produced by the American Homefront Project, a public media collaboration that reports on American military life and veterans. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.